No, we can't start the show. I'm not in place. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. This is Gary Zimak as I adjust my chair. It's great to be with you here on this Tuesday, I think it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Tuesday? Okay, very good.
Yes.
Very good. Let's kick off the show with prayer right now. Man, I am disorganized this morning. Let's do St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit, and I certainly need that prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today on this rainy Tuesday morning. I'm Gary Zimak, sitting here in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio with a stack of books, completely disorganized.
I think it's the rain.
Yeah. You think?
I couldn't get myself moving.
And you know what else? Oh, yeah. Frank Eliason and Dave Parker. Good morning, gentlemen, by the way.
Good morning.
My chair is too high.
So let me try to rectify this.
This could be dangerous, though. Okay. You could, no, I can't fix it. Well, we will fix it later.
If you fall off the chair, we'll take over. Okay. Good job, Gare. Hey, it's good to see you back.
It's good to be back in the studio. I missed you guys.
I missed you too.
Seeing you. It's one thing to be able to do the show remotely, but seeing you guys is a whole nother story. So
yeah, it is. It is. So, yeah, the rain, back to the rain, all the way up at maybe 2 miles into Doylestown, mile and a half. It kind of just stopped, but it was coming down in buckets.
Sure was.
It was, but then it got up here, and it was this weird color.
I noticed it was
very interesting. It was kind of, I don't know, religious in many ways. It was like, wow, what am I coming into right now?
Yeah, In the past, I've gone through similar rain events coming up here, and then one day I came, and there was a rainbow over the station.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
And
that would be worthy of a picture.
I can send it to you.
Ah, I'd love that.
All right.
You know, it was kind of just driving up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. It stopped.
that is always nice, yeah. I noticed the same thing.
Must have been my prayers for you guys. I mean, hey, you know, come on, Lord. We don't need all this rain.
That's right. And I think I'll read the weather forecast soon, but we're not quite out of the woods with the rain yet, but we're headed in the right direction. Yeah. A couple things. Today's program, Brian Mercier joins us. He's been on before. He's a regular guest on the program. Why Do You Believe in God is the name of his book, Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers. And today, Brian's going to talk about an encounter he had with someone who said this, I don't believe in God. Boy, that's, you know, it's so good to be prepared and to hear somebody offer some suggestions to deal with people, because we're going to run into those people who say, listen, I don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to that person? So Brian's going to help us with that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Also, Dr. Greg Popchak will be back to continue his series on his book, The Beatitudes. Today he'll talk about, blessed are the dads who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Mm. Okay. It's been great.
Yeah.
You know what? And I'm going to share with Greg today. I don't like this book because he's challenging me.
Is it making
when do you hear something that he says?
Uncomfortable?
It does. It really does. And I kid around. I love the book. But as a dad, as a husband who really fails in so many different ways, and I'm not just saying that. I really do. When I read this book, it makes me, number one, it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But the good thing about the way Dr. Greg writes is it gives me hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me realize, all right, I'm going to keep working at this. But I read something when I was reading this, and I'll share this when he comes on, that really jolted me.
Okay.
So we'll be sharing that later. I've got an interesting story I want to share with you guys. But I want to mention this Sunday, the three of us, are heading to the Malvern Retreat
House
for the Family Festival. That's going to be a great time. That will be taking place. It'll begin at 1 p.m. at the Malvern Retreat House. For more information, you can visit malvernretreat.com. But they're going to have Mass. They're going to have a Eucharistic procession. They're going to have music. Our friend Marty Rotella will be there. Yeah. The Donut Man will be there. And, boy, when my kids were young, they really liked watching the Donut Man. It's going to be a great day.
I've actually never heard of
You're
the Donut
kidding.
Man.
You're kidding. Well, wait till you see and hear the Donut Man. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, I think he's a local guy. He has been on the journey home. He's a convert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And his show is broadcast on EWTN, but it's going to be a really great day. We will be broadcasting, Frank, live from, I believe, 11 to 1.
11 to 1, and then we'll be there for a good chunk of the day, so you can come out and meet us. And,
I'm looking forward to this.
Just enjoy the time with the family and everything else. It looks like it'll be a great day, a lot of great music.
Yep.
You know, hanging out on the lawn, assuming no rain.
Yeah. It's going to be good. And Marty is providing the music for the Mass as well as he's going to be performing too. And by the way, if you're looking for Dave Parker, you want to meet him, check out the hot dog table. Because they are.
Or the donut.
Or the donut.
Either one.
And just so you know, it's $25 a carload to get in, and it includes food, hot dogs, hamburgers, popcorn, water ice, Philly pretzels, and more.
Speaking of the Donut Man, was he the guy that many years ago, and I'm dating myself, that gotta make the donuts, get up and gotta make the donuts. You remember that commercial?
That's a different Donut Man.
That would be the Dunkin' Donuts guy.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, man. I knew someone would know
it's
that.
Time to make the donuts.
That's right, boy.
And he'd get up at like, dark 30, as we would say in the military.
I remember that very well.
So I thought maybe he had a conversion.
No, that's a different Donut Man. But anyway, we'll see you at Malvern on Sunday, June the 11th. That's this Sunday. We will be there starting at 11. The festivities kick off at 1 p.m. For more information, malvernretreat.com. Okay, guys, quick story. I was speaking, as you know, in Minneapolis this weekend. So I got home late. It was Sunday afternoon. I had to go to Mass. I wasn't able to go before I left. I had to go to Sunday evening Mass. I mentioned that on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I get there, and I'm sitting waiting for Mass to start. And an usher comes up to me, and this is not my parish, and he said, could you help us out with the collection? Now, I've done a lot of things at church. I've been in the music ministry. I've lectured. I've done so many things. I've never really been an usher before. So, and he said, okay, and there's two collections. Mm-hmm. So I said, listen, you got to help me. You got to tell me what to do because I don't know what I'm doing. Now, I shouldn't get freaked out about this, but I've never done this before. Right? So I time comes. I take my basket. It's the basket with the long handle. And the church isn't that big, so the space between the pews isn't that large. So I think, like, well, I can handle this. But as I start, and I don't know if you guys ever did this before, there were a couple dangers that became apparent to me. One was smacking somebody in the head with the basket, which almost happened.
Wow.
The other thing, right? The other thing was letting the basket full of money hit the pew and completely spill out, the content spill out. That was another thing. And then here's something I completely didn't think of, and this almost happened as well. As I'm taking the basket out of the pew, there's a long pole on it. There's a serious danger of whacking somebody in the head behind me with the pole, and that almost happened too.
Wow.
But the good news is I got through it unscathed.
I was just
going to
say unscathed.
I did. So. Okay. You ever done that before?
I have. I've done, well, the regular
baskets.
See,
you're coordinating, well, Dave. Hey, there's a difference.
Wait, Barbara, don't send me a text, okay? Come on. Okay. Yes, I mean, long pole and the little baskets, I've done that.
Oh, so you've done it.
I've pinched hit for some folks that weren't there. They would say, Dave, can you help us out? We're an usher short. Oh, sure. But that long pole, you gotta be careful.
There's a serious danger that you know, you could hurt somebody with that.
I never thought of all this. I've done it numerous times at the Shrine of Czestochowa.
Again, I think I'm just uncoordinated. I mean, for this.
Are we overthinking this, boy?
I think you're overthinking.
And, well, here's the thing. When I came by for the second collection, those people looked scared. So obviously, I did come close. Okay, and then to make it worse, I had people from behind, and this was not my section, but I responded saying, excuse me, sir, they wanted to put their money in my basket. So I had to turn around and let them
fling the basket at them.
I mean, you guys laugh, but this was very serious business, well, and I came through.
So you prefer when they give the basket that they hand.
That's much safer.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
That's much safer.
Well, I commend you, you know, always ready to serve the Lord on a moment's notice. You know,
That's right.
They needed you.
That's right.
They needed you, brother. Thanks.
And it's funny. So I made it through that, and it was an interesting experience. Okay, let's do the gospel. Enough of this small talk. Let's get to the gospel. Today we are looking at the gospel reading today is Tuesday of the ninth week in ordinary time. Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you're a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. These Pharisees, the Herodians, there's always been people out to trap Jesus. And I love this. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to set him up, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're told, St. Mark says, they're trying to ensnare him. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you're not concerned with anyone's opinion." I mean, these guys were just trying to set him up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And Jesus didn't, you know, he didn't fall into their trap.
He didn't bite on that one. You know?
and there's an important message that he really gives us, and I think this is highlighted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church also, that we have an obligation to obey civil authority. We have an obligation to pay our taxes. That's a moral duty that we have.
Yes.
But we have the responsibility to answer to a higher authority too, right? And that's why we ultimately have to remember Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's our ultimate king, right? But we do have that responsibility.
We need to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's,
right?
You know, and then unto God what is God's. And it's sometimes a very fine line.
Right.
Let's say, what is Caesar's versus everything's God's.
Good point.
Well, I think the IRS would tell us that.
There's a lot of interpretation.
You mentioned the IRS. That's a good point. We are morally obliged to pay taxes. We can't say, "Well, I'm going to follow Jesus and give all my money to charity and not give it to the government." Mm-hmm. We might not want to do that, but we do have that responsibility.
Exactly.
Right? So, anyway, Jesus was not going to fall into their trap, and boy, he was challenged all the time. We're going to talk when we come back to Brian Mercier about somebody who's going to say, "I do not believe in God." I mean, Jesus dealt with these people all the time that challenged him.
Yeah, and challenging them to, you know, basically try to even go against government and go against this. And he's like, not even going there.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know,
very good,
we're getting pointed at. So
we're getting ready to go, guys.
Dave's telling us it's time to go to break.
Come on, Dave. We just got here.
Man, we're having a good conversation. Parker, you always ruin it for us. When we come back, Brian Mercier, "Why Do You Believe in God?" Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 6th. Today we celebrate Saint Norbert. The religious order that Saint Norbert founded in 12th century France was confronted by monstrous tasks, combating rampant heresies, revitalizing many of the faithful who had grown indifferent and lax in their faith, and bringing about peace and reconciliation among enemies. Norbert entertained no pretensions about his own ability to accomplish these tasks. He realized that nothing could be effectively done without God's power. He found strength in his deep devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. He and the Premonstratensians, also called the Norbertines, never forgot to praise God for whatever success they enjoyed in converting heretics, reconciling enemies, and rebuilding faith in indifferent believers. Many of them lived in central houses during the week and served in parishes on the weekends. Reluctantly, Norbert became an archbishop in southern Germany, a territory half pagan and half Christian, but he served with zeal, seeking reform of clergy and laity alike. Despite threats on his life and a brief stint in exile, Norbert courageously continued his work for the church until his death in 1134. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zim's telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit,
spirit,
spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
The Sparrow Knows He Holds Tomorrow. That's Jason Gray. The name of the song is Sparrows. I'm Gary Zimak. Your time right now on Spirit of the Morning is 7:18. Brian Mercier is a national Catholic speaker. He's a retreat leader. He's an author, and he has spoken professionally for almost 20 years to both adults and teens. He's a graduate of the Franciscan University of Steubenville and holds a master's degree in theology from Holy Apostles. Brian has written a book called Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Nonbelievers. You can follow him online at Catholic Brian, and that's BRYAN.org. He joins us now to talk about something that I think you're going to find very interesting. Brian, my brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure when you come on the show. You've got a hot topic today, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's talk about this. And for the benefit of anybody who is not familiar with this book, Why Do You Believe in God? I just want to say It is an incredibly powerful book. Brian goes through conversations that he has had with people, some of whom don't even believe in God. And I think you can learn a lot from the book. Today, Brian, we're going to talk about this conversation you had with a lifeguard at a local swimming pool. And this lifeguard said, "Hey, I don't believe in God." Brian, where do you go with that?
To the same place I always go. I can't answer that question until I know why they don't believe in God. And so I actually turned the question on her, and I said, "Oh, you don't believe in God?" And she said, "No, I'm an atheist." Whoa. And I said, "Oh, well, why?" And then, you know, she gave me her reasons. And then she wanted to know why I did believe in God. And so I gave her the easiest and simplest proof that I could think of. Now, there's a lot of great proofs for the existence of God. Mm-hmm. Some are better than others. This isn't the best one, but it's the easiest to understand. So what I said to her is, "I believe in God because of intelligence, order, and design." And she said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Intelligence. Think about this. You're an intelligent woman." I was like, "We believe if you look at the universe, everything is intelligent. For example, if you walk down the beach and you see a heart drawn into the sand that says Sally loves Johnny, XOXOXO, you don't think that the waves just came up and made that." And she said, "No." And I said, "Likewise, if you're going through the hills of South Dakota and you see four American presidents' faces, you don't say, 'Wow, what a random occurrence of chance. It just, you know, enough rain and wind and erosion, it just made four presidents' faces.' No, we're intelligent, and we recognize that another intelligent person drew the heart, and another intelligent person spent the greater part of their life carving those faces out of the side of the mountain." And so I said, "If you look at the whole rest of the universe, we see intelligence in it. We don't think for a single solitary second that that all came about by nothing, from nothing, because of nothing, and for no reason whatsoever, just because it was a random accident. No, everything, the sun rises and sets, and if you look at the moon rising, and you look at the elements and the universal constants and forces, everything works together to bring about life, and we say that that is no accident, and we believe we see God behind it."
And Brian, how did she respond to that?
She said, "Actually, that makes a lot of sense, but how do you know it's God? How do you know it's not like aliens or some other form of life that could have created human?"
Interesting. Yeah. You know what I see here, though, and we just read the gospel, and Jesus, as he was so many times, was attacked by the Pharisees and the Herodians, and they were trying to set him up. They went in with an agenda, and they weren't really open-minded. It sounds like here you're dealing with a person who is really open to the idea of God, even though she claims to be an atheist. Would you say that's correct?
I would say that's very correct, yes. Yeah. A lot of the atheists in my book were vehement and, you know, very not open at first.
Right.
She was exceptionally open, and she was. I think I told her that God had his hand on her because she was so open and because she, you know, accepted almost everything I gave her.
And it sounds like you have a methodical approach, and what you're doing in the beginning when you're in an encounter like this is to really listen to the other person and try to see what you're dealing with. Is that true?
Absolutely. That's 100% true. I don't just listen with my ears, but I try to my hardest to listen with my heart, because a lot of the arguments that people give to you on why they don't believe in God aren't the real reasons.
Okay.
There's something deeper, usually. There's a lot of times that I find most atheists have been hurt, or they had something bad happen to them, or they couldn't understand why God let their grandmother die. And they'll yell about the Crusades, and they'll yell about there's no proof for God. But when you get down to it, there's usually one thing that they're angry at. And if you can fix that problem and, you know, help them through it, they're much more likely to come back to God.
How important is prayer to the Holy Spirit, either before, during, or after these encounters that we have?
I do all three.
Wow, do you really? That's awesome.
Before, during, and after. Mm. And I usually pray to the Holy Spirit every day. I try to pray to the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, lead me to anyone who needs to know your truth today." Or, "Lord, lead me to anyone who might need to know your love and your mercy today."
Mm.
Or, you know, "Lord, lead me to those who need you." And then a lot of times he does. And then, of course, when I have a conversation with this girl and I spoke for an hour, and I prayed the rest of the day for her as well.
Wow. And Brian, I just want to bring up this point. Somebody might be listening to this and say, "Oh yeah, Brian Mercier, he's an evangelist. He's a holy guy. He's always been this way. He doesn't get what it's like to be apart from God." You share something in this story, and I know you make no secret about this. You weren't always this way, were you, brother?
No, I wasn't. And I make no secret with those people I'm talking to as well, because a lot of people don't see God as approachable, as loving, mm-hmm, as kind. Mm-hmm. And so I like to share what he did in my life. And I used to dress all in black. I used to carry weapons. I wanted to hurt people. I was an angry volcano ready to explode, just depressed. I didn't even look in the mirror for 7 years because I hated what I saw. I literally thought I was the ugliest person on planet Earth. And that was all before God came into my life. Once God came into my life, he totally transformed me upside down and backwards for the better. He took out all that pain and filled me with healing. He took out all the hate, filled me with love, and he took out all the sadness, brokenness, and depression and literally filled me with like a bubbling happiness to overflowing.
Wow,
and
praise
that's
God.
The way I've been ever since, thanks be to God.
Yeah, and there's that's such an important image for people. I mean, when you're honest like that, when you're open, they can look at you and say, well, you know what? If God did that for this person, for Brian, they could do it for me. He could do it for me, and you can give them that hope that they need. Because look, whether they admit it or not, whether anybody admits it, everyone's searching for God, even if they don't acknowledge He exists, right? I mean, ultimately, we all have that inward desire, that inner desire to seek God.
That's absolutely true, and I think that's why there's so many different religions, because we all are seeking God in some way with the way we know, because God's put that innate desire in our hearts, and honestly, he's the only one who can fulfill our hearts. He's the only one who can heal them, help them, make them, mold them, and really help us to become the people he called us to be.
I'm curious, Brian, do you have any idea of how these discussions turned out with this lifeguard?
Yes. In fact, we talked for an hour, probably over an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And we went through everything, all of her objections. And I let her ask all her questions, you know, without fear of being judged.
Right.
And at the end of it, she said, you know what? I think I believe in God now. And
Wow.
I think I'm going to go back to church. I think I'm going to start praying again.
Really?
Yeah. Praise God. That's why I prayed for her for the rest of the day.
Wow. And have you had any encounters with her after that point, or was that it?
Actually, I saw her a week later, kind of, sort of intentionally. I wanted to check up on her, and we had another hour conversation, too, you know, and I wanted her to get the rest of her objections out, because I find that most people are atheist or agnostic or have just left the church because they have not got their good questions answered. Okay. They have really good questions, and they don't get really good answers. But when I put all the puzzle pieces in place for them and I help them to see the whole picture, they're so much more likely to come back to God and to live their faith.
Mm-mm. Brian, thank you so much for the work you do, brother. And I really appreciate you being a part of this show. We just have about 30 seconds left. If our listeners want to bring you out to their parish to lead a retreat or a parish mission or to give a talk or maybe to purchase the book, Why Do You Believe in God, where is the best place to go for that?
The best place to go is my website, which is www.catholicbrian.org, and that's Brian with a Y,
right.
And my hashtag is Catholic Brian.
Awesome, and we're going to have that linked at Spirit in the Morning. Brian, you're amazing, brother. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to having you on the program again.
Thank you so much, Gary. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Brian Mercier, the book is Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers. Dave Parker.
Wow.
What a story.
What a story. I mean, just in an hour, he listened and then and intently, and then he addressed each of her concerns.
Yeah,
wow.
He listened. That's something that we forget when we're trying to evangelize. Sometimes we are so anxious to speak that we don't really understand where the person might be spiritually.
Yeah, sometimes we get in the way of ourselves.
Yeah, so boy, great story. Brian Mercier, bring him out to your parish. You will not be disappointed. When we come back, we're going to talk the Beatitudes with Dr. Greg Popcheck. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Much of the area around London Bridge remains cordoned off following Saturday night's deadly knife attack that left 7 people dead and dozens of others wounded. And authorities are searching a neighborhood near the home of 2 of the 3 deceased attackers, hours after police say they freed everyone who had been detained following the attack. Meanwhile, a minute of silence is being observed today for the victims. Leaders of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have written to the Senate with a list of moral principles to follow while debating and negotiating a new health care bill. Four bishops, including Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York and Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, lauded the House version of the American Health Care Act for its protections for the unborn, but said there are many other flaws. A statement from the USCCB on the letter says, quote, the bishops outlined key principles for senators, such as universal access, respect for life, true affordability, the need for high quality and comprehensive medical care, and conscience protections, end quote. And Bill Cosby's lawyers are proving quick to go on the attack as his sexual assault trial gets underway in suburban Philadelphia. A judge today will decide if the mother of one of his accusers can testify. Cosby's lawyers have questioned that accuser's credibility. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
The National Shrine of Częstochowa is creating the Living Crown of Mary. The crown will be made of a mosaic made up of images submitted from around the globe. It is easy to take part. First, take a picture of yourself and send it to the shrine. Second, offer Mary something that is beautiful. The third step is taking Mary into your life. For your participation, the Shrine of Częstochowa will send you the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa as a sign you are a precious jewel in the Living Crown of Mary. Visit livingcrownofmary.com to learn more.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
And that was All I Can Do by Mike's Chair. All I Can Do. Sometimes, you know, words fail us. Say thank you to the Lord. You don't know what to say when you wake up in the morning. Say thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. And we thank you for tuning in to Spirit in the Morning. Let's do a quick look at the weather forecast for the greater Philadelphia area right now. At the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 61 degrees. Today, showers, patchy fog, high near 68. Tonight, chance of more showers with a low around 53. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers, cloudy, otherwise with a high near 67. At the moment, in Doylestown, it's 57 degrees. In Bensalem, 61 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, it is also 61 degrees. All right, over the past several weeks, Dr. Gregory Popchak has been joining us to do a series on his new book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, by Ave Maria Press. Dr. Popchak joins us now to talk about the 5th Bedatitude. Blessed are the dads who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Good morning, Greg. How are you today?
Good morning, Gary. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you. But I have to say, my friend, you've done it to me again. You nailed me with something else that we're going to talk about in this chapter. So I'm a little uncomfortable. Again, this book makes me uncomfortable, but I love it because you give me hope, Greg.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And you know, the book can be challenging because we're all works in progress. Hopefully it's challenging in an encouraging way, in a way that allows us to see a way forward and you know, encourages us to be the men that God calls us to be.
It definitely is. So let's talk about this. Blessed are the dads who are merciful. What does it truly mean to be merciful?
You know, after this whole year of mercy that Pope Francis declared, you'd think we'd have a clearer working definition or understanding of what mercy really is.
I agree.
But I think that there is a lot of confusion about that. And when you reflect sort of on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, which I think is the best practical definition of mercy. You know, you see things like feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting the sick, or the spiritual works of mercy like counseling the doubtful and admonishing sinners and bearing wrongs patiently. Mm-hmm. When it seems like just a list of nice things to do for people, you know, so it's easy to sort of say that be nice is the equivalent of being merciful. Yeah. But really, when you add it all up, what it means is treat others in a manner that allows them to see their worth in God's eyes. You know, we feed the hungry because we want everyone to know that they are worth, that they deserve a seat at God's table. You know, we forgive those who hurt us because we recognize that it's hard to do the work of becoming a saint, and we admonish the sinner because we recognize that some days we sort of want to wallow in it and not get up and get back to work of being that man that God wants us to be. And so we challenge each other, and in all those different examples of each of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, what the goal is treating each other in a manner that reminds us of our worth in God's eyes.
Now, in your book, you break this down as you do with each of the Bedatitudes. You look at our relationship with God, our relationship with our wives, and our relationship with our children. In terms of my relationship with God, how does mercy and being merciful work into this relationship between me and God?
Well, all of us have aspects of ourselves that we're not particularly proud of, that are, as I said, we're works in progress, and we all struggle with various things. And the natural tendency that we have in the face of those limitations or struggles is to start beating ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we hear, you know, we need to be merciful or accept God's mercy, then we kind of go back and forth between that and letting ourselves off the hook.
Exactly.
You know, and that's not really what it's about. What it's about is being able to confront our brokenness honestly, but in a way that reminds us of our worth in God's eyes and allows God to transform us from the inside out. And so I talk about 4 qualities that both theology and brain science actually show us are at the heart of healthy change. And I talk about the fuel for new men is COAL. He uses the acronym COAL, COAL, curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love. And when we're able to apply those qualities to our brokenness, in the presence of God, we allow God to enter into the deepest parts of that brokenness and transform us from the inside out.
And I like the point that you made about what we're talking about here is not letting ourselves off the hook, because that's when I first start to think about this idea of being merciful on myself, there is this almost aversion to that, thinking that, well, no, I can't do that because then I'm going to really slack off and do nothing. But there is that fine line that that we have to really straddle, because we don't want to be too hard on ourselves, and because God always extends mercy.
Well, that's right, and that's right, and so again, you know, the idea, mercy is not the sort of the passive act of letting ourselves or other people off the hook. It's an active process of, first of all, asking hard questions about, yeah, you know, what we do and why we do it and all of that, and really being willing to say, you know, well, what's driving this brokenness? Why am I doing what I'm doing here? And then openness allows us to sort of accept that answer and say, well, you know, this is the thing that I'm trying to accomplish by acting this way, and so let me try to find other ways to meet that need. And acceptance allows us to sort of step back and let God work in us while we're trying to find other ways to meet that need, less destructive, less you know, sinful ways to meet that need. And love, you know, is that commitment to continue working for our good, mm-hmm, and to allow God to transform us from the inside out, regardless of how we feel about it or feel about ourselves.
Right, right. Greg, I want to talk about something in terms of our relationship with our wives. And this is where the 2x4 came out of the book and nailed me right between the eyes. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, this is an experience I had with my wife. You say this, one of the ways that we can show mercy to our wives is if she asks us, or if there's something that we can do for her. When she asks you to do something, you say, don't just say yes, dear. Follow through without being reminded. And then you also go on to say, in a similar vein, don't make your wife remind you to do the things she has asked you to do. Put
right.
reminders in your phone. If you give her your word, let it be your bond. Now, Greg, my wife is a listener of this program. When I'm reading this, I feel really guilty because she has said this to me. And I love my wife. I really love my wife. But I never realized that I was actually hurting her by forgetting to do simple things that she's asked me to do. This is powerful, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it is powerful because we think that, you know, it's just this stupid little thing.
Yeah.
And very often they are little things.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if mercy is treating other people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes, but then we make them chase us constantly to remind them that they're worth something, that they deserve to be heard and attended to,
mm-hmm,
we're not being merciful.
Yeah.
And we're undermining their ability to experience their worth in our eyes, and it makes it harder for them to know their worth in God's eyes, because as husbands and fathers, it's our job to be the face of God in our homes, you know, to our wife and to our children. And, you know, so the way we treat our spouse and our kids really does make a huge difference in their ability to connect with God, too.
Yeah, and I thank you for saying what you did there, because this is a life-changing book. I mean, you know, I've said this to you many times. I really mean it. This is a life-changing book. And I, as weak as I am, I feel it's helping me to make me to become a better dad and a better husband. I am still very much a work in progress, but your advice is so good, Greg. So thank you. Thank you for writing the book.
Well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about now extending mercy to our children. Does this just mean when they do something wrong, we say, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it?
Well, no, certainly not. And again, you know, being merciful reminds us to treat others in a manner that allows them to see their worth in God's eyes. And so sometimes that's going to mean letting certain things go and saying, you know, this kid's really been working hard to be a good kid, to do with everything that's expected of them, and, you know, they messed up. So I'm going to let that one go. I might mention it, but I'm not going to make a thing out of it,
mm-hmm,
you know, because I see that they're really struggling and this was just a minor thing. Other times it's going to require me to say, hey, you know, buddy, I know you can do better than this, and
right,
what can I do to make that happen? And I'm going to hold them accountable for making that happen. You know, but the point is, I'm going to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
About my approach to my kids. I'm going to make sure that they really don't just know intellectually, but experience in their hearts that any correction that comes from me is coming from a genuinely loving place that is really rooted in our relationship with them and really ordered to helping them be what they're called to be. You know, and that you know, sounds complicated, but really what it breaks down into is you know, being able to pick your battles and be intentional about what you confront your kids about and the way you confront them,
mm-hmm,
so that you're able to really root that in affection, that you're able to draw them to you. You're not just sort of shouting things on your way out of the house and
right.
expecting to be listened to,
right.
you know, and then taking stuff away whenever they didn't hear you because you weren't really paying attention to them anyway, but actually sitting down and saying, come here, let's talk about this, and then working through it with them so that they really see what you're trying to do.
Great advice. The book is The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad from Ave Maria Press by Dr. Gregory Popcheck. Now, Greg, I want to say a couple of things. Just got a text from my wife, Eileen. She said this, I love Dr. Popcheck. So, but I mean it, brother. It's really, really good advice, and it's helping me to become a better dad and a better husband. So thank you for that. The other thing I want to say is, obviously, our listeners are familiar with your work on EWTN TV and radio. They know you're an author. They know you're a speaker. But in the course of my work, people often come up to me when I go out and speak about overcoming anxiety, and they say, can you recommend a therapist? 2 times over the past week, I was speaking in Minneapolis this weekend, I recommended your counseling services. Greg, if you will, a lot of people are looking for therapy. We have about a minute left. You do telephone counseling. Is that correct? If somebody needs counseling, they can contact you?
I have 6 associates that work with me full-time, and we're all licensed therapists who approach things from a Catholic integrated perspective. So we bring Catholic spirituality and theology into our work with clients, as well as cutting-edge counseling techniques. So if folks would like to learn more about our work through the Pastoral Solutions Institute, we work with couples, we work with families, we do individual work with anxiety and depression and other personal problems.
Mm-hmm.
They can find out more at our website, CatholicCounselors.com, CatholicCounselors.com, or they can call to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6461.
And I'm going to have your information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. I also, is that the best place to go to get the Bedatitudes book, Greg?
Yeah, the CatholicCounselors.com.
Wonderful. And I give you my highest endorsement. You are the man, brother. Thank you so much for everything
you
do. And then thanks for joining us each week.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Dr. Gregory Popcheck, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Oh, man, what a
wow.
great segment. Once again, he comes through.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dr. Popcheck.
When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, grab a cup of coffee, stay tuned, we'll be right back.